Good morning, Bob. How's everything going?
Very good, Tyler. Glad to be starting it up again, huh?
I know it's been a little hiatus here off for a few months, but back into training camp mode.
Yep.
Second exhibition game tonight against the Cleveland Browns, so why not? Let's get this party started.
All right, let's go.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to jump right into it here. Cedric Benson is in town, Bob. Initial thoughts on that?
They're hurting at running back, obviously. And so they went with a veteran. He's kind of a cement mixer running back. I mean, he had some good years with the Bears, some good years with the Bengals. He's limited in the passing game, both as a receiver and as a blocker. He's getting up there. He fumbles, but the guy can run the football inside. I mean, he really can, and he's probably better than anything Green Bay has. If he's healthy and he's in tune with what the system wants, he's probably better than anybody they got running the ball right now.
Two thoughts, though, on that is first, a lot was made of Cedric Benson over Ryan Grant. Is that the right move? Because Grant has been in Green Bay since 07. He's familiar with the offense. And they say he's got that strong locker room presence, all that stuff. But isn't Benson just the better running back first? I mean, isn't he just it got more game in him? It seemed like Ryan Grant, I know he did well at the end of last season, but there was a string there where he averaged about 2 yards a carry, wasn't giving them much at all on the ground. I just feel that Cedric Benson coming off those 3 1,000-yard seasons probably has a little bit more juice left in the tank.
I agree with you, Tyler, all the way. I mean, just looking at the two players over 7, 8 years, I would agree with you that he's a better ball carrier, right? That's what you're
Right,
saying.
right.
I agree.
But also, but then I play devil's advocate. You look at it. How does he fit in? How does he fit in on this offense? We talked to him in the locker room, and he still wants to be a 1,000-yard back. He still thinks he's going to get 20 to 25 carries. That's what he's accustomed to. He hasn't had to share the ball in the backfield since 05, 06 with Thomas Jones in Chicago. That didn't end well. Is he really going to be okay with a role? All right, say he makes the team. He's got to make the team first. Makes the team. They're not just going to give him the ball 25 times a game.
No, they sure don't want to. I think James Starks, I believe the most carries he had in a game last year was 13.
13, yeah. And then Cedric Benson never had less than 13. He had less than 13 only 3 times the last 3 years. So two completely different
Wow.
styles. But yeah, it will be interesting to see how he fits in. I just don't know how he's going to fit in.
I mean, it's going to take a while to learn the protections, where he goes on checkdowns, I mean, to get in chemistry with Rodgers. But all of this, the Packers, figured all this stuff well in advance, and they just think his ability to run the ball is worth
Right.
the time and the energy to put into the guy.
I think what's important to remember, too, is they just needed a body. They needed somebody. James Starks is week to week. Brandon Staley has the hamstring injury. Alex Green coming off a torn ACL, you can't necessarily depend on him as your number one back right now. So they had to sign somebody. So you might as well go out and get Cedric Benson. Because as you reported with the numbers of this contract, it's not really costing the Green Bay much at all, right?
Right. No, I mean, he's 825, no sign bonus. I mean, not really much there. So it's just a nice free look.
Yeah. Oh, any predictions with him? Any idea how he could fit in two, three weeks down the
We
road.
just got to, we haven't seen him in pads yet, I mean,
Yeah.
there's just no way to know what kind of condition he's really in and how much he's got left. Bengals didn't think he had anything left, so they know him better than anybody.
I think that it's early, like you said, and plus all even if Starks is able to come back, if Sain comes back, Benson could be the odd man out again. I mean, we really have to see if how healthy those guys are because. Obviously, with James Starks, everybody's kind of piling on. This is just another injury for the guy. He can't stay healthy. But if he can get back to 100%, say, in a week or two, then it could be a completely different situation here.
Right. I mean, Starks definitely still could be their back
Right.
all season long. I mean, he's a faster guy than Benson. Although he's not certainly grooved in protection, he knows he's been around here for 3 years now. Benson for, 3 days. So, yeah, Starks could certainly be the guy. And
Yeah.
Green could too.
Green could too. He has looked better in practice. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do tonight against the Browns as that number one guy.
Tyler, what'd you think of Mark Tyler the other day?
Boy, big guy, powerful. He seemed like he got those tough yards between the tackles against San Diego, but he had the big fumble there on the last possession. You can't do that. I don't know. I mean, isn't he just going to get kind of lost in the shuffle at this point? Maybe they can sneak him onto the practice squad. Is there hope for Mark Tyler at this point?
You know, he's really slammed it in there hard. I mean, mm-hmm. he has, you know, and he had that separated shoulder or partial separation. The guy's back on the field after, what, 2 days?
Yeah.
2 or 3 days? I mean, that coaches love that kind of stuff. They're not ready to write him off. They love guys who play hurt, and he did, and you cannot ever don't minimize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he got run down by Ricky Elmore, I mean, that was just really, it showed his 4.72 right there.
And that's generous. I think 4.7 is generous for Mark Tyler.
Might be
but,
right.
Man, he can pick holes in the line on the touchdown run. He was describing that. It was originally supposed to go to the other side, right? And he kind of anticipated and went to the left. So I think that he could be a good short yardage guy, possibly.
Yeah. His value on special teams with the speed, it's probably not real good. And that hurts him a lot. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to somebody that fans love to talk about. And you see it every day out there at training camp. I mean, I think the guy, I don't know, he could just kind of look toward the crowd and they'd go nuts. Donald Driver having a really good training camp, better than I expected anyways. Where is he right now, Bob? I mean, is he pretty safe at this point? Is it still too early to say on Donald Driver?
I think he's got a better than 50-50 shot to stick. But, you know, there's four ahead of him. You got Jennings, Nelson, Jones, and Cobb. Driver, yeah, he's done fine this camp. I haven't seen slippage. Those fans wouldn't let him slip. I mean, this is adulation. It's a frenzy over there in Nitschke Field, and those 1,500 fans are the ones even lining up behind.
Yeah, you've covered this team.
It's crazy.
You've covered this team for decades. Has there ever been one player that has generated that much admiration, that much buzz for anything he does at camp?
All right, Don Majkowski. Say, like, in the 90 camp after that 89 season with the flowing blonde locks, he was pretty big. He really was.
Was he really?
And this team hadn't had a winner, you know, in, like, almost 20 years there.
Are we talking, like, rock star adulation? And are there, like, girls clinging to the fence?
He appealed to that element, certainly. And he was big. And then he got hurt in the middle of the 90, and that was the end of Don. But now he was pretty big.
Okay.
Brett Favre, certainly, after, you know, they acquired him in trade. And he was a very popular figure that first training camp, and he was wild. He was throwing the ball over the practice field in 92 that August. And then when he became a great player, yeah, there was, I mean, it was a Favre fan fest out there.
Yeah.
But this Driver thing now, okay, so, I mean, Tyler, really, anytime he makes any kind of a catch, and especially anything downfield, people just shriek his name, don't they?
It's unbelievable. I mean, the guy could probably pick his nose and they would go insane, right? I mean, it has just reached a point where he is the face of the franchise in many respects. He is. And he could be the number five receiver if he makes the team.
I mean, these aren't the people screaming for him, really. I'm not so sure they're real football fans. You know, it's kind of a women's a female tinge to those screams, right?
So have you watched Dancing with the Stars, Bob?
I did not, no.
You did not? All right.
How about you?
I've seen clips.
Okay.
It wasn't necessarily something I had on the DVR set, but I think that's what it is, though. I mean, that's a huge show to that demographic, and the guy just appeals across all demographics.
Yeah.
He really does. All right, now down to the football, though. I mean, DeAndre Burrell is off to a good start at camp, runs really nice routes, made some plays, goes out there against San Diego, kind of lays an egg with the fumble, you know, doesn't really do a whole heck of a lot. Torrey Gurley, he had a couple good practices to start off at camp, kind of fades away, he gets hurt, he's finally back, he looks all right out there. I mean, it's not like the two receivers that could have pushed Driver for a roster spot are necessarily, you know, pushing him to the brink. Right.
No, they're not. I mean, the injuries have affected him. I feel Burrell was playing better than Gurley when they were both healthy the first 4 or 5 days. Burrell really hurt himself with this fumble. Now, granted, M.D. Jennings and James Jones missed blocks on that kickoff in San Diego, but still, you got to get the ball high and tight, and you got to hold on to the thing. And that hurt Burrell. He was a little bit tentative last summer and I'm not saying timid, but a little frail maybe. And boy, to see that fumble after a year in the weight room, I'm sure that just went right to the coach's They hate seeing that kind of thing.
Especially, like you said, he's a guy that did put on a lot of muscle, a little added weight in the off season. So you want to see that apply to the field. And Torrey Gurley put on a good 14 pounds. He's huge out there. You have to think that he could, down the road, be potentially a red zone guy if he ever developed. But he's just kind of a step slow, isn't he? He just seems, I don't know if he's fast enough, if he can get that separation to really make them think, all right, we have to keep this guy around because he will develop.
So do they really need these guys, Tyler, Burrell and Gurley?
I think you hang on to one of them. I think that you go six wide receivers, and if they show you enough, if they show you enough over these next couple weeks, it's worth keeping one of them around. I mean, heck, teams tried to steal them away last year, and they ponied up to keep them. They like both of these players, and it's still pretty early on.
They're going to be thin at other positions. You know, you got a suspension at linebacker. They're going to have to really be keeping 54 because I assume they're bringing Walden right back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can afford six wide receivers. I really don't. And yeah. I don't know that those players are that great. Driver's pretty good protection, you know, and I'm not saying Driver's here, but he's a nice security blanket, and he's going to play snaps. You're trying to win games, and you might need another defensive player somewhere. I'm not so sure they're going to keep more than five.
Good point to remember also, JerMichael Finley is a wide receiver half the time. Yeah. So it is like you're basically keeping six wide receivers if you keep five technically. So that kind of works against Gurley and Burrell also, yeah. I think.
DJ Williams can go do that stuff too.
Right, and everybody always goes nuts over the wide receivers every summer. Any of those other guys showing you much at all? I mean, Dale Moss is really green, really raw. They picked up that Andy Brewer, Krenski Gillian. Jarrett Boykin could have had a big play against San Diego if Harrell got him the ball. I mean, any of those guys showing you anything?
Boykin is a clever, crafty guy. You know, I mean, he came from Virginia Tech. He set the school record there for, you know, receptions and receiving yards. I mean, that's pretty a pretty distinguished career. But, you know, he is a low 4.6 guy, and after you watch him for 3 weeks, I mean, it becomes evident that that's what he is. And these scouts know this stuff, and these teams know all this stuff, and we don't know this until we start to see him over and over again, and even the untrained eyes like ours, we can start to detect this.
Right.
And Harrell overthrew him on that first play of the second half against the Chargers, but like you said, Tyler, I mean, if you got a burst, if you're running 4.48, you go get that, and it's an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so Boykin's a practice squad guy, I think, and you know, Gilliland, the guy from Nebraska, he's got great ability. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 6'1 and a half, six. Yeah, he's around in there. 205 probably, runs, got to run mid 4.4s, but he's really green, so he could be a practice squad guy too.
Yeah, there's always a couple guys worth keeping around, I guess. All right, let's move on. Some suspended players for the Packers this year. You're looking at Mike Neal, Anthony Hargrove, Eric Walden. Really interesting to see how the coaches kind of allot reps to these guys in practice, particularly Neal and Hargrove, because a lot of guys on the defensive line, you're not going to have Neal for 4 weeks, Hargrove for 8 weeks, at least right now with Hargrove. So what are you seeing in those three suspended players, and how do they fit into the makeup of this team?
I think Walden's played well. He's had the benefit of an offseason, which he didn't have the year before. I think he's a pretty good player, and I think he's their third outside linebacker all the way. He's got to sit out the first game for that domestic suspension, one game. And I just think he's coming back in week two, and he'll play against the Bears in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be easy. It's not ideal, but that's where I see him. Now, how do you see Neal right now, Tyler? Or are you on Walden? How do you see Walden?
Boy, with Walden, I mean, it seems like, and I know he's not necessarily ramming into Brian Bulaga day in and day out, but right now, he's probably a better pass rusher than Nick Perry. I think Perry's still in that transition, still developing, and Perry has looked a little better in pass coverage than I would have expected. Doesn't really seem too awkward out there for a 265-pound guy. And against the run, he's strong. I mean, he can kind of hold that leverage potentially, but just pure pass rushing ability, right now, Walden has the edge on Perry.
Yeah, he's more fully dimensional, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Perry's going to pound into people and try to walk them back, and he's got a bit of a dip and rip, but you don't see Perry go inside.
No.
And you don't see quick hands out of Perry. All this could come. I mean, he's making a major conversion, a conversion some people never succeed at and get cut, you know. But Walden's quick. I mean, he's fast. He's not a great player, but, I mean, the guy started a lot of games here for 2 years, so I just think he's Solid. Here.
It was worth giving him a second chance, I'd say, at the price that they brought him back at. He's not, and I think I'd like to hear your take on it, too. You know, really bad off-field incident, obviously. The arrest goes through all that. When we talk to him on a day-to-day basis, you talk to coaches, teammates, doesn't necessarily seem like this absolute bad guy, cancer in the locker room type that, you know, that you might associate with somebody who gets arrested. I mean, I think he is, you know, he's a high-energy guy. Brings a lot to the practice field, brings a lot to the team in that regard. So I don't see this as any type of distraction, re-upping a distraction with somebody who got arrested at all.
I really believe, Tyler, that if this guy, if he did have that kind of pedigree or that type of mood about him, there's no way Ted Thompson would have brought him back. There is just absolutely no way. I don't think, you know, the suspension of Hargrove was for the bounty. Neal's for, you know, he says Adderall. That wasn't prescribed. Okay, Walden with the female abuse. Granted, I mean, there's a huge red flag there, but I think the Packers had enough time to investigate that.
Mm-hmm.
They would have just cut him free had they had any doubts on this guy's character.
Yeah, they would have. It's a guy that's been caught multiple times in his career. I think he's has a pretty good perspective in terms of, look, you got an opportunity, you better not blow it. So we'll see what he does with it.
I mean, I think everybody that deals with him, Tyler, I mean, yeah. Walden's come from nothing, Middle Tennessee State, you know, cut several times, Dallas, Miami. He's just a worker. Mm-hmm. I mean, he keeps his nose to himself in there, and he's just good people.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Mike Neal, Anthony Hargrove. Boy, a lot of new bodies on the defensive line. Could there be roles for those guys?
So Neal sits four games. He's played against deep backups most of the time. I mean, when he's had reps, it's been late in drills, late in team periods. Has he been exciting? No.
Mm-mm.
Has he been okay? Some days. Has he flashed? A little bit. But again, these are against twos and threes. He hasn't been a revelation, let's put it like that.
Right.
You see it any different?
No. They really want Worthy and Daniels to really give them that juice, quote-unquote juice, they keep talking about up front. Those are the guys that they want in that rotation, right?
Yep. How do you see Hargrove, Tyler?
Anthony Hargrove, boy, I tell you what, I remember talking to his former teammates, his old position coach. People can't say enough about the guy in terms of what he brings to your team day in and day out on the practice field. We see it out there. The guy's always screaming, yelling, sprinting from drill to drill. Just kind of keep that tempo up that is important and keep spirits up. So I think it's worth keeping him around, even if that suspension sticks, because who knows? I mean, you don't know at that point in the season where you're going to be injury-wise. I mean, they could be decimated on the defensive line, and maybe Hargrove gives you a boost. Now, and that was kind of the question, though. How many reps do you give him? Could it take away from somebody else? I think Green Bay has kind of handled that about as best they could. It doesn't seem like Hargrove's been in there a ton yet. You have to give him a little bit to get acclimated. And as far as his performance, he hasn't really jumped out, but I think it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, I'd like to have seen more reps. Tyler, I know this. I mean, I did that Super Bowl book, and I watched a lot of tape and talked to a lot of people about that New Orleans team in 09. The guy was one strong inside pass rusher mm-hmm. that year. He'd come in on passing downs, and he was a tough guy for guards to block. He was really tough. You one-on-one against him, you're taking your life in your hands, your QB. This guy was good. All right, so Hargrove claims that he played just as well in 2010. His playing time went down a bit. Then they don't re-sign him. He goes to Seattle. He played about 275 snaps, again, almost all on passing downs. He claims his numbers were really good.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is Seattle did not re-sign him, and now he's here. Have we seen the 09 New Orleans? I can't say we have. No, that's 3 years ago, and I can't see it. So he wouldn't make the team if he was unsuspended.
Yeah.
All right, so he sits there without pay for 8 weeks, and then it's up to Green Bay. They either got to activate him or cut him. So I guess he just sits there as an insurance policy, right?
Right. I mean, you might as well. I mean, there's no harm in no upside and really just kind of letting him loose right now.
Yep.
So let's move on to the next topic here, Bob. Safety. We've talked a lot about this early on in training camp with Charles Woodson kind of moving to safety and base. But I think what you kind of want to get at here is in nickel and dime. I mean, what's the situation there at safety? We're MD Jennings is probably going to take on a larger role. Did not look very good against San Diego in the first game. You have Jerron McMillan in the mix, Anthony Levine, maybe Sean Richardson. How does that kind of shake out here? And they need somebody to step up there. Not a lot of experience.
Well, you know, last year they kept 10 DBs. Other years under Capers, they've had 9, and I think they kept 8 one year. So if they keep 10, I mean, you're, let's assume Jennings is going to make the team, but that's really not a guarantee.
You don't think it's a guarantee?
He's never done anything. Yeah. I mean, they could go outside. They could acquire. They could claim somebody. They could sign somebody off the street, some veteran who's unsigned right now. So, all right, let's assume he makes it. So you got Burnett 1, you got Jennings 2. You figure McMillan, the fourth-round pick from Maine, he's 3. And if you go 4, I mean, I'm counting Woodson over with the corners because he's playing most of the game at that position. Then you got Richardson, Levine, and Pellerin. All right, Pellerin's a converted corner. He's not ready, although he's not a bad-looking athlete. You got Levine. This is his third training camp. He's got some speed. He's got some range. Small school guy. I don't know. And then you got Richardson. Now, I wrote about Richardson today.
You did.
6'2.5", 213, ran 4.49. Out of Vanderbilt, played in the secondary with Hayward. Now, the guy has not been great, right, Tyler?
No.
But I know they feel he played pretty good in that Charger game. He's got the body everybody wants to see back there. He's not that far out of it. And if he does some more good things these next 2 or 3 games, he's got a shot.
I think it's interesting. You know, I don't know if any of us expected MD Jennings to really make the team last year. So there's always somebody that can sneak up on you that's doing the things that kind of go unnoticed by the untrained eye. They know their assignments. They're in the right spot all the time. Maybe Richardson's somebody that sneaks up this year. And I don't know if he's ready to start, though, and be a contributor by any means.
I agree. But as a developmental guy that you keep, play him on teams maybe. I don't know. How do you see McMillan so far? I mean, this is his fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
He's been healthy. What do you think?
Boy, as you wrote, big hitter. Physical, and that's kind of what they need defensively overall. But at Maine, he was more accustomed to being around the line of scrimmage. He blitzed a lot. I don't know if you can really trust him back there in space. I know he's athletic. He put up those crazy numbers at his pro day. But can he cover? Can he, you know, make those calls back there as a rookie? I don't know if he's ready to do that. I think they see him more as kind of a slot guy, right?
I think they definitely do. We haven't seen him but much back as a classic safety. In that nickel safety or even in the base safety, we haven't seen that. His role has been behind Woodson as the dime back in the slot. Or, you know, he's going to – and from there they see him attacking the run. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think he's, like you said, willing to stick his nose in there and cover tight ends. You know, I didn't realize this till last week, but, you know, he's got really short arms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's only 5'11". He's got really short arms, and his wingspan is limited. I mean, I just don't know what potential he has as a deep half or deep middle safety. We haven't seen enough. The numbers, the length is not real good. They haven't done it much with him. I don't know if they have reservations, but
they must. I mean, when MD Jennings was out for the personal reasons this past week, wasn't it Levine?
Yes, it was.
Anthony Levine back there as safety, not McMillan. So that was pretty telling.
So he's a real niche guy right now. He's a backup dime slash special teams player. I don't see him really in the mix based on how they play the guy as a classic safety. It's weird.
So they could be in trouble there. If MD Jennings doesn't make the necessary strides and kind of take a step forward, I mean, they may need to think outside the box a little.
Yeah, they might.
Yeah.
Or play Woodson back there 100% of the time.
Right.
They could do that.
Could do that also.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, let's go on to the game tonight. Cleveland Browns in town. Boy, a lot to keep an eye on. We just scratched the surface on a few topics. But I think it's going to be important to see if Graham Harrell can improve on his first game. Pretty erratic outside those two series when he led a nice 2-minute drill drive. The marathon drive in the second half. But other than that, really missed some open receivers. So we're looking outside right now, Bob. It's raining. Could be a little muddy out there. Big test for Graham Harrell tonight.
Yes, although Mike McCarthy gave him a pass all the way after the game the other night.
Yeah.
I mean, he said how tough it is to play with these backup wideouts and
behind a backup offensive line that is not very good.
I think he's right. You know, you talk to quarterbacks over the years. Mm-hmm. That's brutal. These exhibition games are very difficult to look good in. It's the same as the combine. You're throwing all these receivers you've never seen before, and it's hard to look good there. That's why the top guys don't throw. So, you know, Colt McCoy will be playing behind Brandon Whedon tonight and Seneca Wallace. One of those guys could come free. So, you know, Harrell's kind of auditioning against those guys as well. He's trying to be a number two, and in my mind, he hasn't locked it up.
No, and I like the point you raised earlier about in these exhibition games. You know, it's funny, you know, keeping an eye on Twitter, you get a sense for what fans are thinking during a game, and it was Graham Harrell is the worst quarterback in Green Bay Packer history. Then, oh my gosh, he just led a touchdown drive. He's the man. I think it's important to look at his progress through that Matt Flynn lens. I mean, a couple years ago, where's Flynn at? And you think back to some of those exhibition games. Like you said, he's getting the snot beat out of him behind some really bad offensive lines. But he hung in there. He showed enough. He was a gamer, and he kind of improved and developed. Is Harrell showing some of those Flynn signs? Like, and that, Flynn that didn't necessarily come out there and put up 400 passing yards in preseason games like he did against Detroit.
No. You know, in the exhibition games, the one thing about Flynn that I remember vividly, he would just run. Mm-hmm. He'd go for 22 yards up the gut, you know, in these madcap dashes. Now, Harrell can't do that. You know, Flynn ran, what, 4.8? Harrell runs 5.08. I mean, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
So
he didn't have to do a lot of improvising at all at Texas Tech. I mean, you can see that that's been something he's really struggled with, but it's getting there. It seems like he knows where pressure's coming from, and he knows where to go with the football.
The coaches have liked what Flynn has done on the move this year, out of the pocket. They think he's improved in that area in practice.
Harrell.
So,
right, yeah.
Harrell, yeah. So that helps him a lot. I don't know. How do you see B.J. Coleman?
Really strong arm. He's a guy that the coaches have to love because he's this film junkie that just obsesses himself with the game. He's going to do everything he can to be a better quarterback. And when you see his arm there, I mean, the ball went into the stands that last practice. But I don't know. I mean, what's his spot? Does he have a chance to, A, be the backup quarterback? I don't think so right now. And, B, could he sneak onto the practice squad? I don't really know how B.J. Coleman could fit in here.
I got to admit, Tyler, you know, when you stand on the practice field or sitting over in the stands day after day, I almost never watch the QBs. I really don't. I'm always focusing on a couple linemen, or I'm looking back at the defensive backs, trying to see what's going on athletically back there and the receivers. So I haven't watched Coleman that much. I'm really in the dark. I don't know at this point.
Well, he just kind of got the scraps in the first game. Wonder if we'll get anything more tonight. We'll check that out.
Yeah.
Anything else you're kind of keeping an eye at tonight? I mean, this Browns team, you have the roster in front of you. There's some former Packers on the team and a lot of former Packer coaches on this Browns team.
All right, we got Brandon Jackson listed number three at running back. He'll be number two because Trent Richardson's out tonight. Too bad we can't see him.
Yeah.
That would have been a treat. Evan Moore. Remember him when you were a youngster at Packer training camp.
Yeah, back in those intern days, 07, 08. He was a guy I talked to a lot in there. Really friendly, smart. You know, from Stanford, he was a convert. He played wide receiver there with Trent Edwards, and they tried to move him to tight end. I think he was on IR for a year, hung around, and then just didn't make the team. But he's done pretty well with the Browns.
Yes,
so.
He has. He's listed at number four tight end, but who knows? He'll be playing tonight. All right, that's it for the ex-Pack players. Now let's go to Mr. Shermer's coaching staff and put together by the Prexy, Mike Holmgren. All right, they got Dick Geron as defensive coordinator. Dick's back in the saddle doing that. We got Chuck Bulla as a defensive assistant. That's Hank's son. Hank Bulla, one of the real characters in NFL history, Packer history. Nolan Cromwell, a senior assistant offense.
Yeah.
Mr. Holmgren's tough-minded special teams coach during those the glory years. Billy Davis, linebacker coach. He coached under Ray Rhodes for a year. Billy Davis is a former coordinator of the Niners. He's coaching LBs. Timmy Houck is the DB coach for the Brownies. Timmy was a mini Chuck Cecil safety in Green Bay under Lindy and Fonny, and then I guess maybe a year or two under Holmgren.
With our guy Tiger Green, probably, right?
Like that. You got it. Kenny Stills, all those kamikazes. Timmy Houck's a great guy, and he's a tough guy. Kent Johnston remains the strength and conditioning coach. He was here all during the Holmgren years. Ray Rhodes, I mean, when he left Houston, There was a story that he had retired a year ago, but now he's back under Holmgren as senior assistant for defense, Ray Bob. And that's about it, but that's quite a Green Bay connection.
Number one memory you have of Ray Rhodes, the one year he was in Green Bay.
Well, I mean, when it just got away from him in that Carolina game at Lambeau in early December, you know, misuse of timeouts, and it just short-circuited, and I think that probably sealed it for Ron Wolf. You got any memories of Rhodes from afar?
Boy, the one was the game that they lost, was it to the Bears, right? When Ryan Longwell missed a field goal at the end, 14-13, that seemed like a pretty crushing defeat for him as well. Brett Favre just passed Ron Jaworski on the consecutive game streak. Go out there and to lose to the Bears at home. That was right after they went to those Super Bowls. That was pretty crushing loss as well. But I remember that Panthers game. Steve Berline scored at the end, right, on a quarterback draw or something.
That's right.
They had a lot. But you know what? They had a lot of close wins that year, too. They could have been a 5-11 team. Brett Favre bailed them out. The game against Oakland, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, those fourth quarter drives.
Tyler, you got a fantastic memory. And you were sitting in the press box for those games. You're dead right. I mean, Favre beat the Raiders, and he beat the Vikings, and he beat Tampa Bay with his last-second heroics. It was incredible, Brett Favre.
Right. That was he had the tears after the Raiders game, right? But they could have been 5-11. I mean, who knows? That was straight off of a couple Super Bowl runs. They had a good year where they lost the Niners in the wild card game. So, you know, I don't think Ron Wolf was wrong in just canning Ray Rhodes like he did. I mean, I know that caught a little flack from Jesse Jackson. I think got involved a little bit, but he had to go that season. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, good call. Bad call by Wolf to hire Ray.
Yeah.
And a good call to move on. Ray probably, you know, he had a brutal four-year tenure in Philly, and I think he was getting paid for another year or two, and he just probably should have sat it out. I mean, it's easier said than done when you got Ron Wolf calling saying, I'm offering you the chance to coach the Packers.
Yeah.
In retrospect, maybe he should have sat it out and come back and got another one later on somewhere else.
Bob, let's get to a few of these questions on Twitter. Kind of threw it out there this morning. We got a lot of responses here. We'll finish up with this. All right, we have one. All right, let's take this one from Adam Zek, at Adam C. Zek. Bob, your thoughts on how the post-CBA lighter training camp workload is impacting the Packers?
Adam, everybody's operating under the same rules, you know? And how you train, how you practice, to me, I don't really get all hung up on all this stuff. I mean, fine, rules are rules. Just get it done. If you're a head coach, get it done and show the product on the field. How about you, Tyler?
I don't know. I mean, it seemed like this build-up to training camp through OTAs and minicamp, the coaches talking about how they need to tackle better, how they need to be more physical, and then boom, like that, you know, the fundamental period of training camp is gone. I mean, back in the day, you'd have these two-a-days, seemed like it was more physical. Even back in 07, 08, I remember, it seems like they just could do a lot more. You know, without the two-a-days and, you know, they have to really limit contact, especially now with all the injuries they're having. It could have a little bit of effect on wanting to be this more physical team, but does it really just come down to the games, like you said?
Yeah, it does. And the teams that want to run the ball, they're having a real problem with these lighter practice rules. How are you going to establish a run game in shells or once a day in pads? I mean, you know, in 3 days and you got to have a day off. The Green Bay doesn't want to run the ball. These rules work to their advantage, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, they want to be more physical on defense. Well, everybody wants to be more physical on defense, so it's a push.
Yeah, there's two sides to it. They're offensively, you know, going 7-on-7 all the time isn't necessarily a bad thing if you're Green Bay. All right, Steven Gross at One Angry Badger. What is the backup plan behind Marshall Newhouse for the season? Reggie Wells, Brian Bulaga, TJ Lang, Andrew Dacko. Gut feeling is that Manning makes the team. Oh, he's talking about Terrell Manning at defense there. But first, left tackle, Marshall Newhouse, backup plan. I think that's a good question, Steven, because Derek Sherrod is still MIA. You saw the potential disaster at that position when Herb Taylor was out there. Andrew Dackel's not necessarily ready. I don't know. I think that wouldn't they be more apt to swing TJ Lang out there in an emergency?
That's really a tough call, isn't it? That's a hard call. you know, we don't know who's going to surface among Wells, Taylor, and Datko. I think they're probably in that order right now. Mm-hmm. Wells, Taylor, Datko, but that's just me. I haven't seen Wells enough. He'll play tonight. Move Lang to left tackle, huh? You might be right, Tyler. I wouldn't commit to that right now. I don't know.
Let's see what Reggie Wells does tonight, because I could be wrong. Maybe you could provide a little bit more insight from your years, but doesn't he just seem a little out of shape?
Reggie?
Yeah.
I didn't really think it was that bad.
Okay.
He told me he's 325. He's only 6'3 and a quarter. I didn't think it was terrible. You didn't like the looks of it, huh?
I don't know. Like I said, off the streets, you know, you bring in this veteran who's been around a while. Let's see what he does in the game. Speed's totally different.
Right.
All right, let's get to one more here, Bob. We talked about Ryan Grant a little bit, but here's a good question. Chris Schweitzer, at CP Schweitzer. Curious what you say about Ryan Grant. Surprised he hasn't caught on anywhere, Packers or elsewhere.
You start with Grant, Tyler.
Boy, at this point in the game, you have to think all the running backs on the market, whether it's Benson, Grant, whoever, are pretty desperate right now. They would take whatever they could. For Ryan Grant, doesn't have to take another injury from another team to get a chance somewhere, because right now he's out of work. I don't know. I'm not sure if he can land somewhere at this point. It's going to take some injuries.
I'm a little surprised, aren't you? I mean, he's a great person.
He is.
He's got a great body still. He's 29. I mean, he didn't even play, what year? 2010, he played 18 snaps or something before he got hurt. He hasn't had that much. He didn't even play at hardly at Notre Dame. I mean, he was in and out. So, I mean, he doesn't have that much mileage on him. He's okay. He's below average in the passing game. Pass blocker, slightly below average. Run inside, fine. Run outside, fine. Good guy, solid character. I don't know. All these backs have been signed, and he hasn't. I don't really know. I can't really explain it.
Yeah, well, sorry, Chris. We got nothing for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we got anything more here. All right, we'll finish up with this. Michael Rose, at the Michael Rose. He says, all I care about is JerMichael Finley. Health, maybe? I'd like to see him as the top red zone target. Any indication of his role expanding? Finley hasn't really been out there a ton at training camp, so it's really hard to say how he'll fit in to this offense. But you have to think, last season, he attracted so much attention. A lot of safeties over the top. You have to think that in some way helped Jordy Nelson and these other receivers. Maybe this year, is it going to be the same deal with Finley? Is he going to have more opportunities? You know, we obviously sat down there in the offseason. He said he wants to freestyle this year. He wants to be himself and go out there and just play, not think about the injury. I guess we're going to have to wait and see on him. We just haven't seen him out there at training camp.
Nope, there's nothing really I can add. We just don't know. We haven't seen the full offense. Jennings has missed, I don't know, 2 weeks now?
August 3rd is when he had the concussion. He's been out since then, so it's 13 days.
And Finley, we've seen about 40% of the practice time, maybe, something like that. So we don't know what this offense is going to look like right now. Just really have no idea.
I think you're right, Bob. Well, hey, we're going to end it right there. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. And what do you say, Bob? You want to do this throughout camp, into the season?
Well,
play it by ear?
We'll work on that, Tyler, and then we'll see the gang again next time, okay?
All right, that sounds good. Thanks a lot, everybody.